This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Adir Chesley. Adir is a sort of brilliant statistician, a PhD from UNC Chapel Hill, great thoughts on healthcare and stats in the current situation. So thrilled to have you with us. Adir, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Of course. First, I want to say it's a pleasure being welcomed on this podcast. So thank you so much for that, Scott. So as Scott has stated, my name is Adir Chesley. I've received my PhD from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. For about the past decade, I've been working primarily on reimbursement models for providers and health systems, as well as performance improvements for revenue cycle. Currently, I'm also serving as a board member for Healthcare Business Women's Association for the Pacific Region.
Well, fantastic. And talk to us for a moment here about what you've learned in this crisis, what your thoughts are, what are you seeing? What have you learned so far?
So like many others, I've learned a lot of things in terms of what has really been successful and unsuccessful in understanding how people understand and process statistics and information. So what do I mean by that? So for me, in my background, I do work with a lot of statistics, medical codes, modeling, percentage. So for this seems like a natural language for me. But this particular crisis has really taught me, as well as several of my other colleagues, that people understand these statistics extremely different. They understand the information in very different ways. So this crisis has really taught how to take statistics and be able to translate that in multiple different avenues and ways while reaching the same conclusion. I know that's a big thing to do, but I think that really helps people in different industries talk to one another in a more common language.
Let me ask you a question about this, dear. You see this so much today. Two people could look at the same exact stat and come out with very different thoughts as to what that means. So some people will see that we've had 57,000 die in this country and think that this is an absolutely horrible outcome. Others will look at it and say, well, that's not very different than pneumonia and the flu, so it's not that bad an outcome. How do you sort of manage this processing of stats so that when people come to a stat, you know, how do you deal with the different sort of analysis they do based on those stats?
And that is a great question. And the real underpinnings in order to be able to do that with the differences in different analyses is really to have a cross-industry team that allows collaboration, but also to explain how you arrive to those statistics, what that means in different examples. And also being open to being professionally challenged and understanding that that other view may actually mean the same thing or something very different. And by enabling that, what you do is you walk people through A to B to C rather than only showing them the end result.
And talk to us about, as you use stats to analyze things, any advice for leaders, you know, whether in this crisis or other ways, some advice for leaders?
Sure. So as we are in very unusual times, and it's fair to remember that everyone and no one has a map for the exact same leadership plan, and it should be different from others. So since we are a very diverse country with lots of different sectors reeling from the devastation of COVID-19. So having said that, my advice for leaders is really to think boldly and be patient.
Think boldly and be patient. Be patient in trying to understand the data, understand what's happening, but to think about bold actions. And talk to us more about that.
Sure. So this is really a great opportunity to take the time to think in terms of what kind of vision should I have? What kind of vision no longer works? Do pieces of that vision that I need to shelf actually apply for the future? So to think in a term without any constraints or boundaries. But because you are thinking boldly, you have to be patient in executing this new vision. And be patient as we all at different schedules and different types of livelihoods and different timelines and reopening. So don't think just because on Monday the vision didn't quite come off as needed as you had hoped, it still may be viable. So be patient in understanding that vision, the data that brought you to that vision, as well as the climate you're in with your team.
Brilliant and thankful. How did you, what was your road to the PhD at North Carolina? You went to UNC Chapel Hill. I'm obviously spending the last couple of weeks watching The Last Dance, the famous story about Michael Jordan, who's also a Chapel Hill graduate. How did you end up at Chapel Hill in the PhD program? And what a magnificent program. Can you talk to us about that for a moment?
Sure, it is a great program. So go Tar Heels for any of your listeners that are big fans of Chapel Hill. So how I ended up in that program was as an undergrad at Penn State University, I really got caught and really interested in the philosophy of bioethics, the way in which we use language to answer data, and how do we make these medical decision-making on that type of stuff. So Chapel Hill at the time was offering a new program that was very interdisciplinary, in which I was able to work both in the sciences and in the humanities to basically come to a wonderful formal education in writing education, performance improvements, understanding the language and reimbursement model, which led to a life of understanding how negotiations work for Medicaid and private payers.
Fascinating. Another question, and this is the question of much debate, and weigh in or don't weigh in, whatever you prefer. If the U.S., the federal government, had acted differently, would there have been a difference in outcome in terms of number of deaths or the ability to reopen the economy? Do you have a sense of that and any thoughts on it?
Sure. So my thoughts might be a little bit different than what that question on the very ground level means. So what I mean by that is I think this is really a much larger question. And it really strikes me as this is more of a philosophical crisis on understanding our mortality. So what do I mean? Americans, we don't typically like to talk about these moments in our lives. We know that we're a mortal being, but we don't have conversations about them. And that's what makes us so tricky, because nobody knows about our mortality. And because of that, we have had a very fearful reaction, and understandably so. We know so little about COVID-19. And what has really come out of these conversations and these philosophical musings on this is some conversations from my colleagues that are in clinical care. They've been expressing concerns that these patients that are coming in with COVID-19, as well as other very debilitating diseases, disorders, is they really don't have any advance directives on file because no one wants to talk about this. And it really strikes me odd, considering that's exactly what makes us so scared of this. This really brings to the forefront our mortality. And for those listeners of yours that might be interested in pursuing this point a little more on their own, I strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of Sherwin Nuland, How We Die. He's one of the more famous authors that really talks about this and how we deal with this in the face of viruses, natural death, and whatnot.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. Another question, woman leaders versus male leaders, any thoughts in advice for women leaders if you come out of crises, or in general for women leaders and business leaders?
Sure. And that is a great question. And I do want to say, I don't necessarily believe this has to be a gender-specific response to your question, but rather I really hope that all leaders can really benefit from some of my humble thoughts that I have on this topic. Because at the end of the day, we do need to be all in this together at the table, having very plentiful discussions on the next step. So having said that, I really think we should take a moment, leaders across the industries, to really start to encourage the concept of reinvention. This is a long game that we're in. This is not a short game. After your basic business needs have been met, you have to pull back and realize what we're really good at in America is we love to reinvent ourselves. So let's bring that out. Let's take our curiosity and drive that. Because this situation, however unfortunate in which it came out of, has allowed for an opportunity for a blank slate for a lot of businesses. And this goes a long way with reinventing what you need, whether it's your livelihood, business, or developing new models and policies. But having said that, that reinvention, Scott, really requires freedom. So I really wanted your listeners to get a quote from Malcolm Turnbull. He was a former Australian prime minister, and he had always said, there would be nothing more tragic than if, in our efforts to preserve our health, we were to lose our freedom. So we need that. We need all these things to come together as businesses start to think about reopening. Let's reinvent. Let's pursue.
Well, just actually brilliant, Adair. Let me ask a final question. How can people learn more about you?
They are more than welcome to contact me on LinkedIn under Adair Chesley. I'd be delighted to chit-chat further with them on things that we've just talked about today, as well as anything related to our professional industry and healthcare administration.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're magnificent.